T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, you know what? By the way, we've got a few requests for the R. Kelly mashup, the R. Kelly breakdown from the CBS Morning Show. Before we get to the Georgia Bulldog report, can we roll that?
Oh, man.
Can we roll that?
Well, here's what's funny. I told Craig yesterday, and Big Chuck Smith is here, guys. We're going to talk to him in 20 minutes.
That's Big Chuck Smith, Joe.
We're going to talk about Falcons pass rush, all the folks he's working with and whatnot. It's on the way. But I told Craig yesterday, I said, you know, we have little things that we throw in throughout the course of the show every hour. And I said, we need to drop that R. Kelly in there. And little did I know he was going to do this. So that caught me off guard. And that's what made me laugh as we started this hour. We got the dog report coming up. But, Craig, yeah, if you've got it handy, man, people have been asking about this this mashup.
And honestly, Craig did a fantastic job. Guys, if you want to hear it, we'll give you a chance. Somebody, guys, said, when are you going to play it again? So get your phones out. If you're on your computer, hit record. Here is the R. Kelly breakdown mashup. Take a listen.
So many people have been stealing my money.
How can I pay child support? How? If my ex-wife is destroying my name and I can't work. How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
But first, I know it starts inside of me.
Can somebody get us some?
I don't want no tissue. I believe.
I believe I can fly.
I can fly.
Oh, my goodness.
I believe I can touch the sky.
I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it.
Can't do it.
So that was what we played yesterday, man. And everybody was like, yo, you gotta play that back. So,
by the way, we got a multiple mixed reaction here at the bar. Some people waving their hands. Some people go, that's not right. That's not right.
Still makes me laugh. I'm sorry. With that, though, man, we got a lot more to get to. Hey, a big trade going down the day between the Patriots and the Eagles. And before we get to the dog conversation, this is, again, the Patriot way. They don't give up a whole lot. If Bennett doesn't work out, it doesn't count against their cap. They cut him and move on. The Eagles get a fifth-round pick, Mike. The Patriots get a seventh-round pick. Right. Nice doing business with you.
Yeah, Michael Bennett, a guy we had talked about. And, again, you know, whatever you feel about a guy expressing himself in this NFL day and age, the guy puts results up on the field. You know, and I know he was surrounded by better talent than we had on our D-line because Fletcher Cox gets the job done. But Michael Bennett's a guy that I still think has got something left in the tank. Whatever he's got left in the tank, they'll find it up there in New England. And if they don't, they'll cut him. And Bill Belichick being Bill Belichick, as Bo Morgan, our producer, pointed out, he's not going to take on a contract where he's going to have to eat it. So they'll have a chance to kick the tires on Michael Bennett this summer, and they'll move on. They won't take a cap hit. Or they'll keep him, and then he'll have a monster day in a playoff game. You know, hell, he can sandbag it all regular season. You only have to kick getting gear. Almost like the NBA after the All-Star break, the way the Patriots operated last season.
It's true. Now, Trey Flowers, are they going to hold on to him?
They moved on.
So here's the deal.
He can always re-sign for less, but right now he's out there.
But they're going to get a pick for him. Once he signs somewhere else.
Compensatory pick.
Yes. It'll be next year, but they'll get a pick for him. So, listen. Whether you think this is a replacement, however you view this, okay, this is what I know about the Patriots in the playoffs. Their defense got better. And it was a big reason why they were able to ultimately get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. And whether you think that was Belichick game planning, but I said this, name the stars on that defense. When we were here the week of Super Bowl, and I said, name the stars. There are not five or six guys on that defense that are brand names, unlike the Rams, where you went, oh, man, I'd love to have these guys. But it worked.
Again, the Rams load up on all the big names like Ndamukong Suh, and they trade for Aqib Talib. Meanwhile, it's a guy like Kyle Van Noy, who's cut bait on by the Detroit Lions, who has a monster game sideline to sideline in the Super Bowl. And then also, of course, Dante Hightower, who was our nemesis in Super Bowl 51. These are guys. Now, Dante Hightower was drafted by Belichick. But again, they get to a moment, like we talked about Chandler Jones earlier in the week.
Move on.
Even though he's getting results and he's worth it, they will not spend that big money. They will earmark that for a guy like, whether it's Gronk or whoever. Meanwhile, you know, we're in this kind of pickle in the salary cap because we've made some bad decisions.
More about that coming up in our Falcon Report, guys. And also tonight, the Braves finally get a chance to see the guy that they signed in the offseason. They spent a lot of money on, and their high expectations. Right now, though, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is always brought to you by our friends on the sidelines with the dogs, by our friends at Brightbox.
Yeah, man, brightboxelectrical.com. If you want to create a sports bar vibe like here at Twin Peaks Girls sold separately, go to brightboxelectrical.com, 770-901-2500. Get that man cave you want.
I'm glad you said that. So, Justin Fields, everybody's been waiting to see or at least hear what he is going to do at Ohio State. Here's what we know. Justin Fields made his practice debut at Ohio State the other day. Reporters, Mike, were allowed in the first hour of practice, so they got a chance to watch. Justin Fields took his first reps at quarterback, and he took them with the first team. Here's the deal, though. After the practice, a lot of folks said, he looks shaky. Call it rust, call it nerves, call it overexcitement. This is what was said after practice. They said they're not going to make a big deal out of it. Of course, we're talking about Ohio State. I wouldn't read too much into it. Now, I wouldn't either, and I think with the expectation and all the hype, it's very similar to what with Jacob Eason when he came here.
Right.
And everybody's like, man, I can't wait to see him. And, you know, one bad throw and you think the world's coming to an end, or he doesn't deliver the football the way you expected. I don't know if this means anything or if it means nothing. All I know is when the season rolls around, I want to see Justin Fields and him performing at a high level for Ohio State. One, to prove that the disbelievers wrong, because there are a lot of folks who said, you know what, whether he got a fair shake at Georgia or Fromm was just so much better. But here's his time to shine. But here's the other thing. Coach Day said it's going to be a battle, that the quarterback position is certainly not just his locked up, that they're going to open it up and they will have a quarterback competition. I didn't think that was going to be the case because they had a couple of guys transfer out.
Right.
So Ryan Day saying it's progression along the way. The guys are out there. We're splitting up the reps during the spring. And, we're gonna basically have a competition at the quarterback spot. I still think it's Justin Fields, but I think that he has to say that to make everybody feel like they've got a shot at the job. I still think it's Fields to lose. But that's the report that's coming out of Ohio State after reporters were allowed in to watch the first hour of practice.
You know, the Ohio State Buckeyes, they're in a whole new world, because think about what Urban Meyer was able to do for them and win a national championship. And again, he's had coaches leave. He's had coaches move on both to the other college gigs and the NFL, much like Alabama. But I tell you what, they're always going to have the great athletes. And
yeah.
Justin Fields,
yeah.
I got to be honest, and this is not – I mean, it's a bit of a shot at the Big Ten, but you're not going to see the team speed on defense from ends and from linebackers and that you would see in the SEC. So it's a tremendous opportunity for this guy to go and shine and do his thing. And again, we wish everybody luck as long as his interests don't conflict with Georgia's interests. Same goes for Jacob Eason at Washington. But I will say this, in a Big Ten, much easier, I still think, to win a Big Ten championship than an SEC championship.
Well, listen.
I mean, if you're Ohio State, you are Alabama.
Correct. They're not. Michigan's not beating you. I mean, Penn State obviously keeps folding up.
If friend Franklin learns how to win a big game in the Big Ten, you let me know.
So I'm with you on this. Coach Day said it was a good start. The guys are in there learning this offense, talking about, you know, that he's been sharp and done a nice job in the meetings, talking about, of course, Justin Fields. So, again, I think this is what happens. 2 years ago, he says JT Barrett was at the quarterback, and guys, you know, it was a different – we felt different. And he says, but it's not going to be the same. Last year was a different feel. So every year you got a new guy in there, it's going to feel different.
Article we didn't get a chance to talk about yesterday. There's been so much stuff going on between, obviously, getting upset over Atlanta United and everything else this week. But from Adam Rittenberg in ESPN, did you know that Jake Fromm was in Indy during the combine?
I did not know that.
As was Tua Tagovailoa and a few other big-name players. It's all by design, by the way. It's something new the NCAA has been doing. They're calling this a symposium, their Elite Football Symposium. It started back in 2017, so it's only a year old.
Okay.
So basically, 2 years old, held at NCAA headquarters. They basically get players in to learn what they need to know to get to the next level. He said they tried to keep us away from the general public overall, said Dylan Moses from Alabama. We couldn't stay out too late. They told us straight up, it's a business trip. You're not here to have fun. But Jake Fromm was up there for what it's worth, and I think that's good. Andrew Thomas was also there, his blindside protector from Georgia. The NCAA giving these guys – I know the NBA does this as well with the NCAA basketball prospects, but what do you think of that?
I think it's good. And again, for those people who are not looking at Fromm as an NFL quarterback, I don't know what you guys are watching. Jake Fromm's going to be the next Georgia quarterback to go in the NFL. Now, how high will he be right. in the draft? I don't know. And does he come out after this next season? I don't know. Does he stay the length of time there? But Jake Fromm's got an NFL written all over him, Mike. And I think that, you know, people for at least Dawg fans need to start realizing that he's going to get an opportunity.
Now, again, I always bang on the NCAA for all the antiquated rules and those ridiculous secondary violations, but this actually makes a lot of sense. Aiming to, quote, better inform high-level college athletes about the transition to pro ball, they've got a bunch of folks talking to the players. Apparently, Josh Rosen and Minkah Fitzpatrick were in the initial group of 16 players from 12 schools in 2017.
That's awesome.
So they're reaching out to kids as underclassmen. It's not a bad idea.
No, I love this. I think it's great for the NFL.
I wonder if Elijah Holyfield and Isaac Nata were involved in this last year because some are saying that wasn't the best decision for either of them to go pro.
Well, listen, you get advice. The NFL Advisory Committee sends these letters out that says, yeah, you know what? We think that you'd probably be a high draft pick or you might be a third-round pick. They give you some estimation of how NFL teams view you. Some of those letters read, it's probably in your best interest to stay in school. If you don't take that advice and you decide to come out, then it is what it is. It doesn't mean you're going to be a bust, but that's from the NFL Advisory Committee, and Isaac Nata admitted that that's what happened with him. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. It's On the Sidelines with the Dogs. It's brought to you by our friends at Brightbox.
Brightbox Electrical, man, 770-901-2500. Go to brightboxelectrical.com. Atlanta's unshockingly good electricians.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Clemson's Trevor Lawrence, did you guys see this? Was asked about whether or not he would sit out in an effort to protect his health for an NFL future.
Never.
He said no. He said, that's not in the cards. Everyone's talking about that, but I really don't care about that. Lawrence went on and said that it's definitely not coming from me if you're hearing it. All that stuff, I just kind of ignored. I just keep working. But he says, I think it's just a different experience getting able to be able to go to school with guys your age and being able to go through the experience of being in college. Mm-hmm. I've always said this, and if I could do it all over again and I had the height and the arm and I was a big-time quarterback, I would be the BMOC for 4, maybe 5 years. I wouldn't come out, and I know you guys go, you're crazy if you're that kind of talent. Because, guys, if Trevor Lawrence came out this year, he'd be the first pick in the draft.
Well, that's what Matt Leinart did. Remember, Matt Leinart could have come out. He basically had all his hours were set. He basically was a graduate student in I think, one or two classes that final year at USC. Or maybe he already had graduated, but he decided he wanted to come back and kick it. At the end of the day, he made some NFL money, but it didn't pan out. So sometimes, for instance, Matt Kuchar. Kuch, when he was the U.S. ranked amateur, decides to go back to Georgia Tech. Now, he still has a great career on the PGA Tour, but some would say you got a chance to go make a gazillion, get out there, make some money as soon as you can.
Yeah, I just know from experience how cool of that experience is for big-time college athletes
right. To
be the big man on campus. And, Mike, you know, you literally get what you want. You do what you want. And it's one of those things that you'll never experience again. As soon as you make that decision to go pro, it changes. Now, again, yeah, you're getting paid a lot of money, but it's not like it is in college. So I love the fact that Trevor Lawrence is saying this. Basically, like, listen, you know, I'm here. I want to be here, and I want to enjoy my college experience. Now, I got to tell you, 3 years removed from high school, I'm sure his opinion will change, especially, let's just say, if Clemson wins another national championship.
Right.
And he gets 2 out of the next 3 years, and now he's eligible for the draft, Trevor Lawrence is gone. He's got to be. And everybody around him will be telling him that's the best thing to do.
No. Now, again, he's true to Cartersville.
But I love this. I love the fact that he's like, look, I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not resting, and I'm not doing other things that people are saying. I want to be here and participate in a way that is enjoyable as a freshman All-American and be around guys my age. I love that, man.
Well, the guy is certainly, like, he's a quarterback that everybody would give their eye teeth to have in their program.
Yep.
Another testament to what the job that Dabo has done. And here's the thing. You know, Jake Fromm, I mean, we've defended Jake Fields for whatever reason. It didn't work out. He couldn't beat him. He's up at Ohio State. Fromm needs to elevate his – he's going to have to elevate his game a little bit. How does he relate and react to James Coley's play calling? How are we going to, you know, integrate the run game? We've got, you know, and a lot of people like to say that Georgia's kind of got a turnover wide receiver. Yeah, you still got some guys that everybody wanted, not to mention you've got guys that, like Demetrius Robertson who came back. What is a Jake Fromm offense under James Coley going to look like? Still going to be running the ball first?
Yes.
Early and often?
Run ball, run the football.
Zeus, yep. All up, Zeus to the left and Zeus to the right.
And D-Swift and set everything else up. G-Day, by the way, coming up in April, and it's right around the corner.
Because this gets back, just real sidebar, we were talking earlier off the air with a couple of Georgia fans at the bar. Is he a glorified David Green?
No, he's better.
So you still think Jake Fromm's going to have an NFL career?
I do. Listen, I'm not telling you he's going to be Peyton Manning. Hear me. But if you think coming out of college with what he's already done, and I think he continues to get better, Mike, and that game against Alabama, some of those throws, on point. NFL throws. Windows, small windows, you had to put it in there, and he made those throws. He's made those kind of throws throughout his career. I think he will be drafted. It's only about how he produces from here on out that's really going to predict where. Hey, coming up, maybe today we finally solve the mystery of how our pass rush can get better. Chuck Smith, friend of the show, former Falcon and pass rush specialist, is going to join us live next here at Twin Peaks. You don't want to miss it. We are Dukes and Bell. We're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, man. We've been waiting on this. Our man Chuck Smith, former Falcon pass rush specialist, has worked with a variety of guys around the NFL, current, former. And Chuck reached out and said, listen, man, I'm willing to come on. It's been a minute, and it's great timing. So we appreciate you coming on because we've been having a lot of discussion about what's been going on with our football team and some of these pass rushers. Bro, it's good to see you. How you been, man?
It's good to see you guys. You know, I had to take a gap year. You know what I'm saying? I took a gap year. Because this professor named Terry Fox was so hard. The class was so hard.
Yes.
So, you know, I had to, after I graduated, I had to take a gap year before I, no, I'm just joking.
We do understand.
The extra X is for extended absence. It's our man. Big Chuck Smith, Joe.
What's up?
From the Bomb Squad. And it's so funny because we said you were coming on, and people on Twitter, I know that follow you, were like, Chuck's going to lay it down. All right, well, I guess they want you to fix the Falcons segment.
I can't do that.
But the one thing that we were talking about, and we saw, and if you go back to the 15 draft, we'll start with Vic Beasley. The numbers were there. Tackles for loss, the sacks, all the measurables you'd want. The size is right. I mean, and we've asked you, I know, a million times, but now a million and one. I mean, how would you get Vic better at getting after the quarterback?
Well, let's start out with scoring 30 points a game. I mean, when you score 30 points a game, everybody's got their ears pinned back and you can rush the passer.
Right.
One of the big challenges they've had, the last couple years, is that you're not putting up big points, so now you're subject to what? Teams trying to run the clock out. Mm-hmm. You know, teams are running the ball, so that affects pass rushers. Then it takes to what? It takes the fans out of the stands. And the fans be out of this. I mean, they ain't making no noise. So when you look at it from the standpoint of the foundation, it helps to have an offense that's scoring big because look at the teams at the Super Bowl. I mean, Aaron Donald get the rush a lot because they were blowing people out.
Yeah.
Chuck, let's talk, though, about tactically because from the team standpoint, I think you're right. But from what you've done and you've lived it and from what you teach around the league, what is he missing? Because – I'm having a hard time, and anybody that listens to this show, you understand this. Now, I'm going to back what the Falcons do, and I'm going to ride with it because if Quinn says this is what's going to happen, I got to see it play out. But I'm having a hard time saying I'm going to commit this kind of money to a guy who I haven't consistently seen do the things that I think he's capable of. So it makes me wonder, what is he missing just from a pass rushing standpoint?
A pass rusher's mindset. And let me explain. Let me elaborate. A pass rusher's mindset is they're humble enough to do things that they're not comfortable. That, you know what I'm saying? They're uncomfortable doing certain things because a lot of guys get in that comfort zone when they use the same move in pass rush.
Right.
So when
speed, whatever.
And they always think it's going to work.
Okay.
It's going to work. You know what I'm saying? Because they want to stay comfortable in what they do. So what happens to pass rushers, and I think what's happened to Vic a little bit, he's been comfortable. He's always been able to outrun guys. He's always been able to bull rush guys.
Use that natural athleticism.
And that's one of the things that we're talking about being comfortable. I believe that he should become uncomfortable and focus on developing skilled moves. Because what happens is when you bull rush guys, think about now today the NFL. The ball comes out in less than 2 seconds.
Yes.
If you're a bull rusher, it takes you 2 seconds to bull rush. And then what happens is you got to fight off a bull rush. So what you need now, what I would advise anybody that's listening, any pass rusher, even Vic, you got to have explosive, change of direction, sudden moves. You got to have a little finesse in there. Let me tell you why. because the ball's coming out faster. You got to have faster, quicker moves. You can't be engaged and locked up on blocks, or you'll forever be a bull rusher. It starts with moves. Chandler Jones, Yannick Ngakoue, Von Miller.
Yes.
And going down, even Aaron Donald, if you watch him, he uses moves. He uses, meaning he'll spin, he'll chop. So what you got to learn, this ain't the old days where you can just bull rush and the quarterbacks drop back 7 yards. You got to understand, you got to be humble enough and have a learnable attitude to make some small adjustments. They'll play big dividends.
It is Big Chuck Smith in the Skies live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, former member of the Bomb Squad all the way to the Super Bowl back in 98, 99.
And hold up real quick. We had 3 guys get double-digit sacks on that D-line. Now back to you.
Oh, let's see if I can remember. Shane Drenette. Yep. He's up in heaven now.
No, Shane had 8. Right. He had 8 the year he went to the Super Bowl.
The Lester the Professor Archambault.
He got 10 once in his career.
And the guy that nearly separated my shoulder high-fiving me in Minnesota, Travis Hall.
Yep, because you were probably back in those days. We're at the Super Bowl. What was that Bomb Squad bash we had?
Yep,
that?
At Buckhead.
Yep, and you were off the chain. Just let it be known. It was somewhere on the roof. He was on the roof. That's the last time.
On the roof. We actually had a guy who smashed a orange and blue Ford Bronco with a sledgehammer to get ready for the Super Bowl that year to win Super Bowl tickets.
Somebody tatted their butt, but
yeah, it's a long story.
Long story.
But hey, man. But you know the thing is, like the year that Vic has the double-digit sacks, you got Dwight Freeney that came in, and we talked about Dwight Freeney being a mentor, and he embraced that role. I mean, was that an aberration? Is that Dwight's input? Why did Vic do so well? Was it just 3 or 4 games that jumped his stats? Why can't we get back to that 15.5 number?
Because we're not scoring the points. I'm just telling you that. Remember that. That was a year where you're blowing people out. So I think at this
point. He had more opportunity.
Teams are playing catch up. They can't run the ball. They're one dimensional.
Yeah, because we're always, think about you're always against the grain. But I'll just say this about the mentor thing, which drives me crazy. Love me some Dwight Freeney. But right now, 44 is the mentor guy. He's the mentor guy. So at this point, everyone knows the moves are out there. And I always say this, and this is not anything to do with 44, right? All I'm saying is this. This is something I talk to everybody about, my pass rushers. This is the first thing I told guys in that gym today. You got smart pass rushers. You got dumb pass rushers. Not dumb people now. Not dumb people. Mm-hmm. Smart pass rushers do what the great ones do. They develop the signature moves, the spins, the humps like Reggie, the long arms like Jason Taylor. And you know what the dumb pass rushers do? The stuff that they continue to do that never gets sacks. Mm, right. So if you're smart, you're going to do what the great ones do. It's not a secret. Mm-hmm. So if Dwight Freeney's spinning – and he's winning, why I'm not spinning and I can be winning. So smart pass rushers do exactly what winners do. Dumb pass rushers, not dumb people, they do what the guys do that never get sacks. And all offseason they come to my gym and say, man, I'll get my hands right. You got to do what the great ones do. And those guys who figure that out become consistent pass rushers.
Chuck Smith joining us live here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. It is Dukes and Bell. Falcon Report on the way. Steve Coonan as well, guys. Our strong arm story, which has to do with the Braves, and some football news today, if you might have missed it. Stay tuned for that. Chuck, what do you think and what do you make of Dan Quinn taking over the defense? I know you have a good relationship with Coach Quinn, but this is his background. And for me, when I heard this, a lot of people felt like, well, he was doing this anyway. Marquand was calling the defenses, and Marquand was the guy that was, making the signals and doing all of that. But now it is left up to Coach Quinn, and I ask this question not to be a jerk, but if he's going to improve Vic, all right, where was this the last couple of seasons? Could he have not tried to do some of the things that he's trying to implement maybe now with Vic or this D-line?
Right. Well, the first thing I understand that, the focus is about working him harder, working Vic harder.
Okay.
That's not needs to be the focus. The focus needs to be on him developing skill. He's big. He's strong. He's fast. So I think the most important part, he needs to spin this up. He's fast. I mean, what did he do? I mean, he's diesel. What I'm saying? He runs fast. So all those things are there, but you can't coach a dog mentality. All right? Just leave him at that.
Okay.
You can't coach a dog mentality. You got to have a dog in you. All right?
Okay.
So I believe they got to work on signature pass rush moves. You got to. I mean,
and does that apply? Yeah. Does that apply for a guy like Tack McKinley? We've been talking about Tack too. Because I think Tack has real ability to get after the quarterback.
But Tack's always, he's a bull rusher too. But one thing that happens when you're a bull rusher, you're always engaged and you're always falling around. So that's why people get hurt when they bull rushing.
Okay.
That's what happens. So you want to be a bull rusher? It's a what? It's a violent strike. So a lot of times when I watch Tack, it's a violent strike, but he's what? Falling on the ground, landing on his shoulders. He's got to develop signature, swift, explosive pass rush moves. And then the bull rush, a bull rush is a setup. It's not a primary rush because you ain't running through these big cats every game.
It is Big Chuck Smith. Joe, hanging out with us here live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Member of the Bomb Squad, T-Train staff. We're going to talk about the draft with you, too. We're going to hang out with you for a minute here at Twin Peaks. But here's the thing with Vic. We've noticed, and we joked around, Chuck, we called it a 15 technique because he's coming so far outside. I mean, and with the spin moves, it almost seems like he just gets pirouetted out of outside the pocket and the quarterback steps up and he just doesn't get the pressure, doesn't get the hand on him.
All right, feel me here, guys. Close your eyes and roll with me. Now, we're talking about what it is. It's like a wide nine, okay?
Okay.
You're tilted from a wide nine. The wider you are, your percentages of getting a sack get lower.
Because you're going farther.
The further you're out,
right,
the percentages go down that you're going to get a sack. When you're in a tilt, it's a 45-degree angle. You got to feel me. And I'm trying to paint a picture for our listeners. For your listeners, I'm sorry.
Don't close your eyes when you're driving.
You're good.
I'm talking like this is my show.
You're good.
All right? You guys got that? So, anyway, the wider you are, unless you run a 3.9,
right,
like Usain Bolt, you can't beat that edge. So what happens is, again, when you're that wide, you only have two options. You have to try to speed, but the only option is really a bull. So think about it like this also. When I line up wide, super wide, like that, anytime you line super wide, it takes away the threat of an inside move. Mm. So the tackle ain't worried about an inside move. So if I'm 8 yards outside the tackle,
right,
he doesn't have a threat, so it makes the guy one-dimensional. Now, again, let me just talk about the guys who get sacks. Do you ever see Vaughn that wide?
No.
No. Do you see Chandler Jones that wide? No. Reggie White? No, even though that was old school. I'm taking you back.
Yeah.
But the point I'm saying is there are certain rules to pass rush.
But you're talking about technique,
yeah,
swim move.
Yep.
You know, I mean, a combination of strength, hand speed.
Got to have it all.
Real quick, because I want to ask you about the draft, but in a nutshell, is Vic fixable?
Yes. Yes, Vic, no question. No, I 100% believe Vic is fixable. And I think Dan Quinn, you know, saying, let's get it cracking.
Right.
At the end of the day, what you're hearing is, let's get it working,
okay,
right?
Okay.
He's the head man. And I'll tell you this, I do trust Dan because he is a defensive-minded defensive line coach at the end of the day. But what I will say is this, and I'm going to take this, and I'm going to try to step back from 44, but this is how it works. You'll have the highs, and you're going to have the lows. Because the highs are when you bull rush every time, you got it. It's predicated on you what? The ball's got to be held.
Right.
Got to be held. So I'm bull rushing. The ball's got to be held. So I got to what? Work harder to get there. Now, in the other given year, if you're using quick explosive moves, you're going to get there. So the thing is, you're going to have a good year this year. You might not have one next year because you're bull rushes and things don't go your way. Now, the consistent guys who use spins, chops, long arms, all the dips, all the spins, they're consistent because they use those explosive change of direction signature moves that all the smart pass rushers use.
Chuck Smith joining us, guys. We've been talking a lot. We're going to continue to talk about it. Weeks leading up to the NFL draft, we keep hearing about guys like Montez Sweat, Oliver,
Preach,
Lawrence. And by the way, I got to tell you guys this, all right? Going back, this is two seasons ago. Chuck and I are talking, all right? This ain't on air. We're just having a conversation. And Chuck's like, two seasons from now, this D-line draft is going to be bananas.
Right.
And I'm like,
yep,
okay, yeah, I hear you, Chuck. This D-line draft is about to be bananas.
This comes in Alabama alone.
You're absolutely right. So tell us about what you know so far about some of these guys we're hearing.
Well, I know all four of the Clemson guys should be first-rounders. I don't even have to name them. Just call them the Clemson four.
Okay.
They fit – really, all of them should be, you know, from somewhere between 5 to 15. But let me tell you, guys, I'm really loving right now. Ed Oliver. Listen, man. He is explosive. He can get upfield. He's quick. He's dynamic. Now, I love him. I love Montez Sweat. He's at 260, 6'5 and a half. You know he can run. Got skills. Been working on his long arm. Got some juice coming into the league. I'm going to tell you another one. I like Brian Burns, Florida State. Got juice. Nice.
I
like Brian.
He's not another Vic? Is he going to put some lead in his jumper? Is he getting bigger?
Yeah, but to me, Vic is big enough. I mean,
okay,
again, Vic is big enough. You got to think of some of the guys. They're defensive ends that are even smaller.
Brian's pretty tall.
Brian's about 6'5".
Right.
He's the truth. I like him. I like Quinnen, a big guy that can move. But I'm a little worried about the one-year thing.
Yeah.
But, again, I like what he does. So let me tell you a sleeper, though, real quick. Max Crosby. Kid out of – where's Max from? Central Michigan. Michigan, I'm sorry. But I watched him. I was at Exos.
Mm-hmm.
Had a chance to consult him this offseason. Sorry about that. I'd had a few players in right now this year, so I had a little brain fart there.
What about Christian Wilkins, man? Clemson.
Oh, I love him.
Some people say he gets gobbled up sometimes.
He does.
But you still,
he's a project pass rusher now. But these guys are so.
But he's played 3-4, 4-3, for us, 4-3 tackle.
Yeah, to me, he's the nose. I mean, for the Falcons, he's the nose because we got a 3 technique. Mm-hmm. He just needs a nose. Grady Jarrett is that dude. So right. I'm just telling you. And we haven't even seen what he can. He hadn't even scratched the surface of what he is. Grady's a beast, man.
Oliver and Grady, the size thing doesn't matter. You don't want to get bigger because they're saying Oliver's like 275, right. More effective at a lower weight.
Yeah, but I like him. I mean, Aaron Donald, we talk about that again. But to me, how you can work him, Grady and him can – when Grady can be on the outside at 3, the other guy can be at the nose. But then you got to get a big guy that can also do it. I'm looking for pass rush.
Yes.
We got to stop the run, but let's rush the passer and get off the field. We'll stop the run. I think the Falcons are going to be in good shape.
We got Steve Koenig coming up. Chuck, I know you got your son is here, by the way. He looks like a beast. I'm just letting you know. Your son walked up. I was like, yes, sir.
He is a beast. I can't wait till that Corgi Kale. You know, we took a beat down in Colquitt County last year.
Yeah, I remember it was there. I remember.
Chuck's got a big kid. Hurry's leaving. It's Georgia, Southern Florida, State, Alabama. I'll hang up and listen.
You see, I'm shaking. Come on, man. I'm ready, baby. It's game time.
Appreciate you, as always, stopping by.
Appreciate y'all, man.
Good luck, my man.
Don't forget about the little people. Y'all done blew up.
I am the little people.
Look at you.
You are always welcome, my friend.
Anytime,
Thanks,
Chuck.
Guys. Appreciate you.
Steve Koenig next on Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time to check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Koenig on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are live at Twin Peaks, guys. We were just taking a few minutes to say hello to the owner, Colby, who does a great job here, and his staff. So we're going to get Steve Koenig on the line here, and we thank Chuck Smith for stopping by as well. Mike and I will comment on some of the things he had to say about some of the pass rushers. Specifically, we had a lot of conversation about Vic Beasley, but we will talk about that coming up in our Falcon Report. Right now, we welcome into the program Hawks CEO Steve Koenig, making his weekly visit by the program. And Hawks have a couple of games this weekend, by the way, guys. You can go down and check them out at State Farm. Brooklyn's in town tomorrow, and then on Sunday night, New Orleans comes to town. 6 o'clock tip right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's going on, Steve?
Everything's good. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Oh, having a great afternoon here in Paradise, and, you know, it's fun. We're hoping and really, fingers crossed, that Trey can beat Luka for the Rookie of the Year. I mean, at the end of the day, we know what we've got. We talk to you every week about how good and how he's developing every week, getting better. But, man, love to have that Rookie of the Year here in Atlanta.
Do you have a media vote, Mike?
No, they don't let people like me vote. Carl has votes for a lot of stuff.
Yes,
they don't let guys like me vote on anything.
Well, that's just wrong. That's what we should be working on.
Yeah. Steve, I can't even get verified on Twitter, for crying out loud. I mean, they won't let me vote for anything.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. Yep, Trey's playing really, really well. The team's playing well. It's very exciting. It looks like we're going to have two very good lottery picks. So I think our future is very bright.
Yeah, listen, I we were talking about this over the last couple of days. And, you know, I've been a big proponent of Trey, even early on, because I just felt like he was showing me, all right, maybe not everybody else, exactly what I was looking for. And that was his ability to get other guys involved. He will always be able to score. I think that scoring aspect, it comes natural to him. And there's going to be good shooting nights and bad shooting nights. But he makes people better. And I think we've seen that with John Collins. My thing, Steve, is how do we fight this national narrative that seems to be up against us with not only the conversation with Trey, but the Hawks generally just speaking? You know, how does that change? Is that a function of you guys and the organization finally getting over the hump? What has to happen? Because I think we're doing our part.
Well, I do think, A, it's changing. I mean, Trey Young has been on SportsCenter every night for the last 10 nights. He was on Inside the NBA last night. He was written up in the New York Times. And he's becoming a bigger than a local story. And same with John Collins. And I think the catalytic moment was they had a pretty impressive All-Star weekend. Trey should have been the MVP Friday night. Got beat by a half-court shot Saturday night. John, the dunk contest didn't go his way, but he's probably the most memorable part of the dunk contest as we speak right now, as he tried to jump over Orville and Wilbur Wright's airplane. And I think what happened is Trey came back and realized not only can he belong there, but he wants to be with that type of echelon of players. and Trey and John went to the alumni breakfast. You know, they soaked it up. They really, really, really understand how great being an All-Star is and what you have to do to be one. And I think we've seen some great results. And it's all about hard work. You know, there's no shortcuts. And these guys are committed for the summer. They're going to work out like Olympic athletes. You know, one of the knocks on Trey, and I want to be careful that I don't jinx anything, but one of the knocks on Trey is, oh, he's so small, he's so fragile. He's played 67 games, and we have like 15, 16 games left. I think he's going to play an 82-game season, averaging 32 minutes a night. That's not fragile.
Yeah.
He got into his shooting groove. His effective shooting percentage is over 60% for the last couple of months. And so I think we're seeing something here that's terribly exciting, and the same thing with Collins. I think, you know, when you go out and you average a double-double, it's exciting. But most important thing, and we talked about this last summer when we took Trey, he makes people better. Carl just said it. And if you're a
big, it is our man,
and you're going to get four or five different more that's passes right around the rim, that's what players are looking for.
Steve Kuhn is with us here, guys, brought to you by Kumho Tires as he joins us. We're live at Twin Peaks here in Buckhead, and the CEO joins us every week. And that's the thing, though, about Trae Young, making the guys around him better. And also, let's talk about the job that Travis Schlenk is doing, because we saw Kyle Herter exchanging jerseys with Dwayne Wade, and that was just kind of a cool moment as well. But, you know, Herter's a pleasant surprise. So after all the talk we've had, Steve, about us, we've got to get down to this player or that player. I won't mention specific players since you're an executive. The good news is I think a lot of Hawks fans say, if we're picking, let's say, for argument's sake, fifth and sixth or fifth and eighth, we trust the process, and we trust Schlenk to go get two more rock stars.
Yeah, he's certainly a high, high-level evaluator of talent with Kevin at 19 and John at 19. And again, Amari Spellman's done really, really well. He's got an injury now, but he was the 30th pick in the draft, and he's playing minutes, and he's getting better. And he's 19. He and Kevin are only 19-year-olds. Trey's a senior at 20. So Travis has the skills, and now the buildings come together and Emery's come together. So I'm very, very bullish, and it's fun. I don't think we've seen a fun Hawks team, including the 60-win season, like this one. I think this one is, you know, super fun and super dynamic.
It is Steve Kuhn, Hawks CEO, joining us. We are live at Twin Peaks and actually Buckhead. We'll be back up in Kennesaw here in a couple of weeks, but talking some NBA hoops. What did you think about LeBron passing Jordan? You know, we always have the discussion, and this week it kind of, it revitalized that conversation, because now LeBron, from a point standpoint, all-time points, guys, passes Jordan to become number four on the list.
And truthfully, I was shocked at what a non-event it was. You know,
you thought it should have been bigger?
I thought Los Angeles or wherever, if LeBron did that in Cleveland, the pound would have gone crazy. They would have lit up buildings, you know. And I just think the narrative on LeBron is quite negative right now. And I'm not sure he gets the full credit he's due for the accomplishment of outscoring Michael Jordan. Pretty remarkable. But I do think the narrative in L.A. is so negative that I thought it was a muted ceremony at best.
Well, as we said, I mean, it's funny. We had guys literally yelling at each other earlier here today doing the classic LeBron versus Jordan
they
argument.
They were, yeah.
To me, it's like Lincoln versus Cadillac. I mean, you know, you pick your flavor. You got your guy. It's our man Steve Kuhn, brought to you by Kumho Tires. But it's just, look, the good news is LeBron is still in his prime. It's tough to see one of the best talents in the league, and he's not going to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you pit something against something, you know, like moms versus dad and as far as taking care of children, you know.
Right.
Carl, I hear that you did something my father did to me. He picked me up from school once. I had a broken leg, and he took me home, put me in bed, and then left.
Yeah, it's true. I literally did that. She came home, and the whole night it was like she's telling me how it hurts. I was like, get over it. You know, here, what do you want me to do, take an aspirin? I mean, honestly, I had no sympathy
for it. This is a chapter in Steve Kuhn's life I never knew. So what, your dad went out for a pack of smokes and never came home?
I'm with you, Steve. I did the same thing.
We couldn't remember. No cell phones back when this happened, boys and girls.
Right.
Couldn't find my mom because she was not home. They called my dad at his retail jewelry store. He drove across town. He picked me up. He put me in bed. He said, your mom will be home at some point in time, not a drink, nothing to eat. And I had a broken fibula.
Oh, yeah.
And 40 years later, I'm still reminding him on very heavily rated radio.
I think that's what, and that's what I'll be getting 25 years from now. But thanks for taking me down that road, Steve.
Another chapter for Daddy Dearest.
Call me, Carl, and they say, here's what the boys did wrong this week. Could you help them out?
Okay.
Can you give some life lessons from the older, wiser, grayer man? And that's what
I'm
trying to do.
How long did it take that break to heal? Did you have a big cast on?
I had a big cast on, and I was in a cast for about 9 weeks.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's the other part now. I haven't even talked about it. Can you get me this? Can you get me that? Oh, now you can't do anything. Oh, jeez.
It's tough to be a dad.
So it was like...
All you dads out there, just remember.
I'm just wondering, what was Coonan's pain regimen? Was it aspirin? I mean, what was it all about back then?
I think it was whiskey and a bullet.
Nice.
Hey, Hawks back in action, guys, again. Couple of weekend games. Steve, you guys got anything special going on, as you always do? It's a great environment down there at State Farm. Anything going on this weekend?
Well, I mean, there's no special concert. Saturday night is a great night to come out. And Sunday, you know, the United are playing and we're playing, so downtown should be electric. And maybe a little surprise at the end of the United game that we'll talk about next week.
Okay. All right, man. Steve Coonan, I would think hold on to your ticket stubs or your phone ticket.
That
anyway, Steve, have a great
idea.
Have a great weekend, big man. We'll talk to you next Friday.
I hope baby Duke feels better.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
He's an attorney.
She did ask about that.
Have you been injured in your home through no fault of your own?
Yeah, she did ask about that. I was like, put the phone down. Steve Coonan, have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Hawks CEO, guys. Hey, we are Dukes and Bell. Again, find us on social media. Like the show on Facebook and the radio station, 929 The Game. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show's Dukes and Bell, 929. And you can text us as well, 404-741-0929 on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
We've got ice-cold Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale from Oconee Brewing on tap. 30 degrees here at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We got a Falcon report, but we got some big breaking stories in the NFL, Carl. We got a trade and then one that didn't go down.
Stay right there. Falcon reports next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.